Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Very simply, I want you to notice there's a place mentioned here, the throne of grace. It's akin to, or it's a fulfillment of what was described in the Old Testament as the mercy seat, the atonement cover. Right there in the heart of the tent or the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then the temple in Jerusalem, in the Holy of Holies, there was a seat, a throne, a place where the glory of God resided. Very special place. We could perhaps call it a home, a haven, a harbour. Essentially, it's a resting place. A resting place for the glory of God. It was an inviting place, but it was a very special, holy, separate, sacred place. A welcoming place to sit down, as it were. But the high priest going in would not sit, because it was the throne of God. The throne, it's described here, is the throne of grace. And it leads to my second very simple thing I'd like you to observe in these verses. Not only is there a home described, but there's a helper. I think we can use that word because there is a priest described, a high priest, to help us. Notice at the end of the verse, to help us in our time of need. And the priest is described very beautifully. A great high priest who has gone through the heavens. Jesus, the Son of God. His humanity, Jesus. A man like us. A human being like us. The Son of God. Almighty God. God Himself. This helper. And it's because of this, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. A helper. A priest. Let's get out of our minds all the relic religious stuff that comes into our mind when we think of a priest. It's not about garments or vestments or all kinds of stuff. A priest is essentially a helper. One who comes to mediate, to, as we're, take our hand, because he's got the hand of God. So a home, a harbour, a haven, throne of grace, a helper. I want you to notice a hope that's mentioned here. Because it's a throne of grace. To help us in our time of need. To help us in our time of need. Fractured lives. Broken lives. Failed people. Possibly fearful people. In need. That's you and me, isn't it? That's what it's all about. A high priest to help us in our time of need. And all of this description of the home, the harbour, and the helper who is there, who sympathises with us, who's experienced all that we experience, it's couched in language of encouragement. Don't give up. Don't fall into unbelief. Don't walk away from this. Don't be like others. Rather, let us approach with confidence. A.V., with boldness. Full of assurance. Full of conviction. Don't drift.
Don't be careless. Don't be drawn away. Rather, because we have such a home, a throne of grace, because we have such a helper, and because it inspires hope for us in our time of need, let us approach with confidence. So that's what the invitation is here. You'll see that it's linked with the earlier invitation there in verse 9. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. It's a beautiful phrase. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Let us, and it's the same invitation, let us therefore make every effort to enter that home, that harbor, that resting place, so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. I'm sure many of you will be familiar that at least 5 times in the book of Hebrews, Jesus is recorded as sitting down. It's a very important emphasis in the book of Hebrews. Let me very quickly remind you of them. The book opens, the sun is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. He's the creator. After he had provided purifications for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. There's almost the beginning of a link. Just as God created, 6 days, rested, sat down, there's the pointer to this subsequent work of God in the purification for sins, dealing with our hurt, dealing with our shame, dealing with our failures, dealing with our hopelessness, dealing with our lostness. He sat down because he dealt with it completely. Another verse. The point of what we are saying, this is Hebrews 8 verse 1. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary. We have one in the glory of God's presence who lived among us. And he's there on behalf of broken, helpless, hopeless, lost people like us. And because he's there, he sat down. Finished. I'll give you another verse. Chapter 10, verse 12. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy, being made beautiful, being made right for God. The true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. I'll give you another. This is the verse that your children quoted to us. Leads us into Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You get the picture? Familiar words, very familiar words. But there is one who is doing an awesome work, working, experiencing shame, experiencing pain, experiencing loss, experiencing death. And who for the joy set before him, the joy of being
in his Father's presence, the throne, sitting down, sovereign, Lord, waiting. And the other reference from Psalm 2 in Hebrews, to which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Now, I was enjoying the singing this morning. The thing that struck me about the singing here is you didn't stand up at all. You sat the whole time. And you were obviously enjoying the singing. And you were resting in the singing. And there was a sense in which it was quite relaxing as well as inspiring. Amen. That right? And to sit down, it just is a beautiful thing to do. We love to do it, don't we? I'm not talking about laziness. I'm not talking about being careless. I'm talking about when a job is finished and when it's completed. It's just a joy to sit down. We don't do it enough. We don't do it enough. That's what's embodied in this picture of sitting down. It's an experience of refreshment, healing, acceptance, a place of security, a place of knowing there's no danger. It's rest. Rest. I want us to apply what I've been introducing through the story of the woman at the well. I'm sure you're familiar with it. We read this. And keep in mind, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. John chapter 4, we have the story of a woman approaching a man sitting down. Hope all of you will have heard this story at one time or other. If not, it's the story of a woman approaching a man sitting down. Listen to it. Jesus had to go through Samaria, so he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. You'll all, I'm sure, even out in the street when you meet someone, it's good maybe to, if you get into this kind of conversation, we'll be looking at witnessing this evening. It'd be good to ask someone, what do you think about Jesus? Even the atheist will have something to say positive about the story of Jesus. Jesus did many wonderful, remarkable things, but one of the most remarkable things that he did was to sit down. Was to sit down. There follows a wonderful story here of his encounter with the Samaritan woman from Sychar. Jesus sat down to rest. He was tired from the journey. He needed refreshment. What a reminder of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 18. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Hebrews opens up with the Son of God having come into this world, taking our weakness, taking our frailty, sitting where we sit, experiencing what we experience, feeling what we feel, yet without sin. Yet without sin. Jesus asks the woman for water and subsequently offers her the gift of God. We read, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you water. So the woman said, "You have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his flocks and herds?" Her question is another reminder of what Hebrews is all about. Because in Hebrews chapter 1 and 2 and into Hebrews 3, the uniqueness of Jesus, the greatness of Jesus is described. He's greater than angels. He's greater than Moses. Even you might have picked up from our reading in Hebrews 4, the reference, he's greater than Joshua. There's no one greater than our Lord Jesus Christ. His name is above every name. There is no one, because he is unique. Jesus, the Son of God. And this woman begins to be provoked to ask a question. Are you greater than our father Jacob? This man who's sitting down. Even as he's sitting, he's talking to her, probing into her life. And her heart, her inner heart, her conscience is being provoked and disturbed and being drawn. But it is the gift that Jesus offers that is the real theme of Hebrews. Rest, healing, salvation, refreshment, safety, hope in our time of need. You see, this woman is tired. She's tired physically. She's tired morally. She's tired politically. She's tired religiously. She's tired domestically. She's tired personally. She's tired culturally. She's like so many men and women and young people in our contemporary world. Confused, hurting, having done their own thing, having gone their own way, realizing that it doesn't work. We're not going to go into all the background of this woman this morning, but let me repeat it. You can explore it yourself. She's tired physically. She's tired morally, because she's broken all the rules. She's tired politically because she's a Samaritan and the Jews don't like Samaritans. She's tired religiously because she doesn't really understand who God is. It's a false worship she's in. She's tired domestically, having had 5 husbands and we don't know how many children. She's undoubtedly tired personally, because she's thirsty. She wants to know what it's all about. If any person needed rest, this person needed rest. You just have to turn on our televisions. You just have to listen to conversations. You just have to feel the anxiety in people's lives. Handling health issues, handling finance issues, but more significantly, handling moral issues, handling identity issues. Who are we? Where are we going? What is the hope for the future? That's our world. You're part of it. I'm part of it. There are many times we feel a bit frayed, don't we? Jesus points to something ordinary. He needed refreshment. She needed salvation. Give me a drink. I'll give you water. You'll never thirst again. So here's this man sitting down, and someone has come to him. Hebrews 1 reminds us that he sat down after his journey on this earth. Hebrews 4 points to the fourth commandment, God rested after his work. I believe much of the brokenness within our culture today is because people are just ignoring the fact of God as creator. God as creator. Driving their bus of busyness through the fourth commandment. Thinking, my time is mine. No, it's not. It's been given to you by God. Joshua had given them rest. God would not have spoken later about another day. Another rest. And it's the rest of the soul. How often people are like a human hamster in a cage on a wheel. Human hamster, cage on a wheel. Our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. And so the woman says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain, but you Jews claim that the place where we must worship is in Jerusalem. Jesus declared, believe me, woman, a time is coming when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. Not even in the temple in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know, for salvation is from the Jews. Yet, a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth. If you take time to read John chapter 4, and I hope you will, if maybe God has been speaking into your hearts from this example, you'll see that a lot of spiritual surgery is going on. Before this woman can experience the gift, the word of Jesus probes into her life, exposing her past failures, helping her to face up to the falseness of her religion. There's a lot of spiritual surgery before she can actually accept and receive the gift. And that's why you find at context of Hebrews 4, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It lays it all bare. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered, laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. That's why we have a high priest. That's why we have a helper. That's why we have a Savior, Jesus, the Son of God. We have one who's able to sympathize with our weakness. We have one who's been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace. You know, it's good to allow God to lay bare what's hidden in your heart. It's good to allow God to lay bare your fears, your anxieties, and your failures. Don't cover them up. Don't run away from them. Bring them to him. Just as this woman came to the Savior. To the Savior who sat down. And so can I encourage you to come to Jesus afresh. Come to the one who's finished your work. Come to the one who's dealt with every need, every fear, your past, your present, your future. Just bring everything to him. Lord, we come before your throne of grace. and find rest. The peace of God that passes all understanding. Do you remember what the woman said? Come. She started inviting others. Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Because she found hope. She found peace. She found direction. She found guidance. She found salvation.